And good Tuesday afternoon, one and all. It is Tuesday, March 26th. Where's the year going? My goodness. But this is show 288. And where's the number of shows going? We're getting right up there. 288 is the show number. Before we get started, I do want to mention real briefly that starting on Monday, The Legend has a new morning show, if you will. And it's only a half hour long. It starts just before the first program of the day. So like on Mondays, it'll be at 8:30 before Chris and Dave. The rest of the week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, it'll be at 10:30. And on Wednesday, Coffee Club will probably supersede it. But it'll be just kind of helping you kind of know what's coming up throughout the day. And also, like on Tuesdays, this show will be in there to talk about that at 10:30 Eastern. Somebody will probably talk about book talk and all that. So join in for Good Morning Legend starting on Monday, and Bill will do that at 8:30 on Monday and 10:30 the rest of the week. But we have a lot of stuff going on, Chris. So let's get right to that basketball stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Hope everybody's enjoying the basketball. Hope everybody's getting ready to enjoy the baseball. And eventually, the hockey and basketball seasons in the pros will even end, and we'll have playoffs there, but that's still a few weeks away, but we got enough to do. All right, let me run down first the time schedules and the matchups for the Sweet 16, because, you know, it gets crazy, and you're, oh, who the heck's Marquette? What region are they in? Who are they playing? I know they're in it, but who are they playing? That kind of stuff. You just can't remember everything. So we start off on Thursday night on CBS. We're going to do the West region first. The West is being played in Los Angeles, so naturally they're starting first. Why not? At 7:09, Arizona is going to play Clemson. And then at 9:39, it's North Carolina and Alabama. And after we run down these
matchups... But that'll never start at 9:39, I guarantee
it. No, it won't. It won't. It's always another... It's just, you know, and it's so hard to get a college game over with because they have so many reviews, and it was really getting annoying to some degree this week because some of these games are 20-point game with 2 minutes to go, yeah. And then now they're reviewing it went out of bounds off somebody. Oh, come on, let's just move on here. Anyway, 9:39, North Carolina and Alabama. So that's the West region in L.A. And then on TBS, the Eastern region will be here in Boston. And on Thursday, UConn and San Diego State, the rematch of last year's championship game. And that'll be at 7:39. So you see, you get a little leeway. So, you know, the games do not end at the same time. And I like this Thursday-Friday setup they do. And then Iowa State and Illinois will be at 10:09 on Thursday night.
That should be I think that should be a great game, yes. Iowa State and Illinois.
Then we go to Friday. And at CBS, we start again with them. And it's, I think this is the one, what is this, Detroit, I think, for these?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the Midwest. And we have Marquette and NC State. And that is actually a championship matchup from 1977. That's who Al McGuire beat to win his last game as a coach. That was NC State. So Marquette
and who
and
would
NC
have
State?
Ever thunk, though, Chris, that NC State would?
Yes.
They won 7 games in 12 days.
That's crazy. Who
would have ever
That's
have
crazy.
Thought that?
Well, this is like what UConn did in 2011 when they came had to win a bunch of games to win the Big East and just kept rolling along. Marquette and NC State, and then 9:39, the other half of that region is Houston and Duke. That's going to be a good one too, of course. That's in the South in Dallas. And then TBS in the Midwest. This is the Midwest now. Purdue and Gonzaga. And
that should
be
good too.
Yep, 7:39. Yep. And then at 10:09, Tennessee and Creighton, and that'll be good. And that's
Detroit.
Friday has some really good. Thursday has a couple that I think will be good. The thing with Iowa State and Illinois, though, is you're going to have a really good offensive team in Illinois matching up against a really good defensive team in Iowa State, which is going to win out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think that's going to be a good game. And, you know, Clemson has been underrated. You know, it was funny because everybody was saying, oh, they won't go to the tournament. And then I said, well, Joe Lunardi or whoever had them as the sixth seed, and that's exactly what they got. And they've been playing pretty good ball. And Arizona, though, is a tough team. I've been listening to
them.
They
are.
They've been streaming their games, and I've been able to listen to them. And they're a good team. And then you've also got North Carolina and Alabama. I don't know much about Alabama, but I know North Carolina was the best team in the ACC this year.
Alabama can score quite well. But unfortunately, if their threes are not dropping, they can be very mediocre very quickly if those threes aren't going.
I think UConn should be San Diego State okay. I don't think
that would be
much of a problem. Well,
yeah, it's UConn and everybody else, basically, is what it's
right.
I mean, San Diego State's good, but, like, I mean, UConn could probably beat some of these lower NBA teams. But, yeah, Friday is a really good matchup. Houston-Duke ought to be interesting because, I'm going to tell you, Texas A&M gave Houston a run. Overtime, I thought, so Houston, and I thought, okay, Houston's pretty much unstoppable, but, I mean, they struggled. I mean, we'll talk about some of those here, I guess, in a second. But don't
tell Iowa State and Illinois that UConn is that much better than everybody else, because those two teams would beg to differ.
Yeah. Oh, I think they would, yeah. I think they would. Like I said, UConn's got the toughest region. They do have the toughest
They
end,
do.
I
will say this, and I said it before the tournament ever started, if Illinois is on and they are scoring like they are capable of scoring, they can beat just about anybody. And I mean, the other night, they got a triple-double from Marcus Damask. If you get a triple-double from him, I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, because I've seen him for years at Southern Illinois, but if you're going to get a triple-double out of him, they're going to be tough to beat.
What do you guys think about the Purdue-Gonzaga? You know, you've got sort of a team who finally has gotten to the Sweet 16. It's been a while, and they've been expected, and they haven't gotten there. And a perennial in Gonzaga. What do you think about that one?
I think that's going to be a fantastic game, because Gonzaga, Mark Few was talking to Ryan Radke the other day on Westwood One, and he said, I'm just fine with being an underdog. He said, I don't mind if people are overlooking us a little bit. So I think that should be a good game.
Yeah, I think Purdue probably, I don't know, but because you always got to wonder with Purdue, because it's always that jinx with them. But Gonzaga has they've struggled this year. They're not the Gonzagas that they were, but it's their ninth consecutive Sweet 16 appearance. So, I mean, that one is probably, to me, probably the game of the week of the two nights.
And they did knock off Kentucky, so they have done it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about Tennessee? I think the only one we really haven't covered is Tennessee and Creighton.
And that should be a good game, too. Rick Barnes is another one that you just wonder if and when he's going to flame out. But if not, that should be a fantastic game, too.
Well, oh, yeah, exactly, because, you got two of them here. Rick Barnes, you never know, because towards the end of his Texas career and then even at Tennessee, and you got that one. But even going back to Marquette, NC State, NC State's on a roll, but Marquette, Shaka Smart, has not had a great run in the tournament till this year. I mean, he had the win with VCU, but at Texas he didn't, even at Marquette. So both of those, you got to wonder what's happening. Creighton's been an Elite Eight. Tennessee was very close to losing that game to Texas on Saturday, and even though I have Tennessee winning it all, you got a question. You know, I still have them in. I mean, I was hoping I'd be wrong on Saturday night when Texas got it there, but you got a question.
So the conference count is interesting, because the two conferences that were kind of underrated and had some teams on the bubble that didn't make it have done really the best. ACC still has four teams. Virginia embarrassed themselves against Colorado. That was one of the most embarrassing performances I ever saw, that play-in game, because they couldn't do anything. But everybody else has played really well, the other ACC teams. You got four, Big East with three. The top three have kept on going. You know, again, they had a big middle class of about six teams, and that kind of hurt the power ratings because they're beating each other. But those top three definitely, and they could have maybe gotten another one or two. And, how about Indiana State and the NIT? They beat Minnesota the other day.
They did.
That's kind of a story, too, because they're going to say, well, okay. You know, some people really like the NIT for that. You know, they say, hey, well, you snubbed us? All right, we're going to show you. And, but some of those teams, I was thinking about those teams like Indiana State and Oklahoma, Seton Hall. When they saw what Virginia did against the Colorado, they're saying, we could have done better than that. Jeez,
I watched that Indiana State game a little bit on Sunday, because that second game on CBS was not close, so no need to pay attention to that. So I watched Indiana State. That place was packed. I mean, that place was loud, and it was packed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of rooting for them a little bit, because Larry Bird's old school. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
So the Big East has three. The Big 12 has two, so does the Big 10, and so does the SEC. Then you get down to the Mountain West, the Pac-12, and the West Coast with one apiece. So that's the deal on that. For the seeds, we have four number ones, and then, I don't know when the last time that happened, but that's rarely
happened. I can't remember. It's been a while. Been a few years.
Four ones and four twos. So there you go. The top
that's
eight
definitely been a while.
Still in. Yeah, still in. Two threes, two fours. Two fives, a six, and an 11. So the 11 is NC State. So it's not an unknown 11 like St. Peter's or something. This is somebody you know. So all the conferences, you know the names. There's nobody over, where is that school? You know, that kind of thing.
I think it's good, too, to give an honorable mention to Oakland. I mean, they beat Kentucky.
Yeah. Yes.
And then they easily could have won the NC State game. Mm-hmm. So I think you give a mention to that team. That team was really good. For being a mid-major, that was a good team.
They went to overtime with them, didn't they? There was no
they did. Yes, they did.
You had the two overtime games in the same session, in the same city, back-to-back on that one. I remember that. Yeah, because they talked about that. And Oakland, that guy, 40 years at the same school.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, he very easily could have –
The Duquesne coach too, who retired after that game, and he finally got his team into the NCAA. That was pretty good too.
The coach at Oakland, Campy, I believe his name is, did an interview with Scott Graham. He said, "You know, before I got this job, he said I was 28. He said I told my wife I want to get a head coaching job before I was 30. He said I accomplished that. He said, "You know what I told my wife the other day? I just hope I show up every day and they don't lock me out and lock the doors."
There you go. So, UConn is the first defending champion to make the Sweet 16 since Duke did it in 2016. So that's something. And let's see. And Gonzaga's made how many row they've made? What,
nine
in a row, I think.
Yep,
yeah,
nine.
And then we got more of the coaching cycle going here. Dusty May went from Florida Atlantic. Now he's going to be hired by Michigan. So then we'll see how that works out. West Virginia hired Darren DeVries away from Drake. What do you think about that?
And they're also going to get Tucker DeVries, the back-to-back Missouri Valley Player of the Year. So,
oh, there you go. Well, that'll help them.
You wish them well. I'm not sure that I would have taken a program that's in upheaval, but hey, Darren DeVries is a competitor. He always has been. When he played at UNI, he was a competitive guy, and he still is.
Yeah, and he got a 5-year deal, so that'll help. And Danny Sprinkle will go from Utah State to Washington.
Yep.
And Kyle Smith from Washington State to Stanford. And you know, in the old days, you would have said, well, why is he doing that? I mean, after all, they're both in the Pac-12. Well, no, Stanford's going to be in a power conference now, and Washington State's going in the never-never land. So,
well, Kyle
in the West,
Smith,
in the West Kyle, Coast.
Yeah, Kyle Smith is a good coach because you know what he decided on Thursday night? Tucker DeVries is not going to beat me, and he didn't.
Nope. So, why don't you guys, because you know more about it than I do. I did listen to the UConn game last night, and they did make the Sweet 16 again for the – how many years in a row is it for UConn in the Sweet 16?
30
in a row. Unbelievable. But what do you guys – what are your observations on the women's games coming up?
I will say this. Mark what's his name? The coach at West Virginia, he said his goal was to send Caitlin Clark packing. And you know what? Last night, he darn near did, because they played this knockdown defense. They just wouldn't let her get loose, and they frustrated her all night. Apparently on TV, she was seen dropping an F-bomb, which is really out of character for her. But he nearly accomplished his goal, so I wonder if that was an underseeded team that could have gotten a higher seed. But in the women's team, in the women's tournament, the higher seeds, at least up to this point, they generally prevail. Now, coming up this weekend, you have some good matchups, UCLA and LSU among them. This is where you could start seeing some upsets in the women's tournament. But generally, the first two rounds, which are played on home courts, generally the seeds prevail.
I get the feeling, just listening to that UConn game, that they just don't have it this year. It doesn't sound like they've got the spark that they usually have. They were kind of they were going to win the game, but Syracuse was on their heels all night, and I get the feeling that that's the kind of game they used to win by 20-25 in other years, and they just didn't do
it. But I think the problem now, though, Chris, that they have is not that they're worse. The other teams are just simply better. That's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't have thought going into that game last night, that the Iowa game, that would have been a 10-point game. But before the game, Rob Brooks and Tiffany Reedy were saying, don't underestimate this team at all. And boy, they apparently knew what they were talking about.
Well, I think UConn's got, potential to retool. You know, they're not going to have to rebuild because they're there. But they got the richest state in the country, if you think about it, per capita. Everybody loves women's basketball down there. That's their, that and the men are the teams. The football, not so much. They haven't done well. But they for NIL, they should be able to do what they need to do.
And you don't have to replace Paige Becker. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Iowa and LSU and probably mm-hmm. South Carolina to a point, they're going to have to replace the girls that will go to the draft. In with UConn, Paige Becker has announced very early on that she was not coming out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and just to finish the tournament action, then we'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk about Kim Mulkey here for a minute. It's going to be more about this. But anyway, the hockey tournament's getting ready to go, and we have there's 16 teams, of course, four regions. That's all that get into the hockey because there aren't that many schools to play. But there are five New England teams, defending champion Quinnipiac, and then there's BU, BC, Maine, UMass, and so there you go. So five of the 16. So I'll be paying a little attention to college hockey because like to see the New England teams do well, especially BU and BC. So we'll see what they can do. So what is exactly, does anybody get any idea about this Kim Mulkey thing? What is she afraid of, or what do they have on her?
That's what we don't know. Yeah. But she came out the other day and said that the Washington Post has been working on, to quote her, a hit piece on her for 2 years. We don't know what we don't know what it entails or anything like that. The one thing I can say, and one of our local talk show hosts, Andy Fales, said he was at the Final Four last year, and he said he was talking to LSU people, and they love Kim Mulkey, and you better not attack Kim Mulkey or anything like that. But he said, here's the problem. By her coming out the way she did, when that story, if and when that story hits the Washington
paper,
Post, that is going to be the most read sports story you have ever seen.
Absolutely.
She also claimed about something about Brian Kelly. I don't remember a hit piece on Brian Kelly.
I don't
really.
Either.
And she went on when she went on this rant, it was right after their victory over Middle Tennessee State. So it's supposed to be about the game, and she brought this up. I mean, she talked about how they contacted some of her former coaches and they were trying to get a hold of her players and saying it was approved. And one thing she said, they contacted me on Tuesday and said, here's the set. You better give me an answer by Thursday, the day before I play our games and everything. And she just went on this. It's almost like, wait a minute, you're taking away from your players' games. Now, the only thing, she has had some other controversy. Remember the deal with Brittany Griner where she told her not to come out, not to acknowledge what she was, even though everybody knew it. And, she and Brittany Griner, and that was at Baylor, the Baptist school, and she was going to punch anybody in the face that wouldn't send their daughters to Baylor, if you remember little things like that.
And here's the thing. I did not know this. Andy Fail said that Kim Mulkey at best is about 5'2".
Uh-huh. she's short.
Very
short. Yeah.
So he said, I don't imagine she's going to be punching too many people in the face. She'd have to reach out.
Somebody on one of our local shows, they did a comparison. They texted in. It was a caller or a texter sent. You know what? Kim Mulkey and Nancy Grace are the same person, same voice, same attitude. I said, you're right. And my wife said, they look kind of alike, but yeah, they kind of are.
But the problem is, Chris, Andy Fales is right. If that story, if and when it ever hits, her coming out like that, it will be the most read sports piece the Washington Post has probably ever published.
I'm sure the people at the Post are sitting there saying, that, first of all, they're saying, we got our ducks in a row with whatever we're going to say. All right, we're good with this because you know, they're a careful newspaper. They Woodrow and Bernstein, you know, they, this is a traditional paper that knows what it's doing. We have our ducks in a row for anything we say, number one. Number two, all right, well, let's have a little toast to Kim for putting us a little further on the map, getting us some readership here. So that's good.
And Kim, okay. And for those who don't know about her, Kim is always controversial. In all of the press conferences, generally, she's going to say something that is controversial. That's just the way that she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any more college stuff we need to do before we move to baseball?
No, I think that's it.
All right.
That's it.
Okay, so baseball. Well, the big story of the week has not been on the field. Shohei Ohtani fired Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, I should say. He used $4.5 million from Shohei's account to gamble, apparently, and an investigation continues. It was illegal bookmaking because there's no legal gambling in California. Shohei, the interpreter said voluntarily paid the gambling debt, but Ohtani's lawyers, and now he's been saying that he's a victim of theft.
He did. He read a statement yesterday and basically said that it was theft. He did not willfully pay any money to a bookie anything like that. Now, what I would have to wonder is how in the world I can see how this guy, you know, with Shohei, he might have been able to talk to him, but he got through his accountants and everything to get that money. How on earth does this happen?
I wonder if the interpreter, that they knew he had so much swing with Shohei, interpreter told him, you know, hey, Shohei wants to send me, I need to do something for Shohei, you know, and just put it that way. And they if they trusted the guy, they might have just given it to him, you know, that kind of thing.
Robert, go ahead.
Okay, guys, am I unmuted?
You're good.
Yes, you are.
Okay. With this, I have a serious question about the wire transfers, because I've done wire transfers in the past. And when you do a wire transfer, you've got to have all kinds of documentation. You've got to have your ID. You've got to have your Social Security number. So how could somebody get access to his accounts without him knowing?
No, I think he knew. I think he just wanted to help a friend. I don't think he realized that it was illegal. My impression of Shohei is that he's kind of a babe in the woods. He's very dedicated to baseball. It's like they say he's like monastic in it. You know, the way he works at it, the way he trains, and many of the Japanese players are this way. This is their vocation.
And he's very private person. He doesn't like, I wouldn't say he doesn't like, but he doesn't talk to the media that often.
Right.
He does his things with baseball, and then he's gone. You don't ever see pictures of Shohei. I mean, heck, nobody even knew he was married till he announced it.
Yeah,
and Chris Russo had Robert, I don't want to steal your thunder. You said that Chris Russo had a comment about this.
But let me get to that in a minute. But my point was, when you do a wire transfer, you have to actually go into the bank and provide all kinds of identification and documentation. So I would think, if that's the case, I don't know how they do it in the computer age, but I would think that you would have to have some kind of documentation from the account holder himself.
Or at least his accountant.
Right.
Why I say that the interpreter was a trusted member of the inner circle and say, you know, Shohei wanted to do this. We need this $4.5 million. And the guy's got money.
And it wasn't $4.5 million at one time. I think it was like four or five different.
It was eight different wire transfers, $500,000 each time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
what did Russo say yesterday?
He basically was in support of Shohei Ohtani. He said there's no way that he would be gambling because he doesn't, he doesn't understand English that well, or doesn't speak English that well. So he said somebody could, that he was just helping out a friend, like you said, Perry. But he also said that because of his lack of language, because he's still learning English, that somebody could have very easily pulled something over on him without him knowing.
So, well, here's the thing, and I mean, I'm trying to be facetious here, so take it that way.
Right.
We've all had wives, right? Yes. He's got a wife now. I'll bet it ain't going to get past her.
Yeah.
Sean, go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, Robert, no, now on the computer age, you do not have to go into the bank, but it sends you all kinds of alerts. And if you remember initially, because this was a 90-minute interview with Tisha Thompson with ESPN, and the interpreter who in the interview, he also said that that was about 10% of my job because I was going with him. You know, I did a lot of other stuff, running errands, other stuff. So he may have given Ohtani may have given him a little bit of access, but some people originally in Ohtani's camp said, oh yeah, we were aware of this, but Ohtani may or may not have been aware. And the other thing, this interpreter is kind of, he lied about, he graduated from Cal Riverside. There's no record of that. He also claimed he worked for the Red Sox at one time. There was no record of him working for the Red Sox, but he had been with Ohtani since the Angels.
Yeah, since he came here.
Yeah, you want Ohtani to hope it's not. Baseball is definitely hoping it's not because, I mean, Ohtani, if you look at internationally known athletes, I mean, he's up there with LeBron, Messi, Tiger Woods, as far as around the world, and if the IRS is involved, and what I'm saying is if I'm the interpreter, go to Nevada or Arizona where it's legal. Mattress Mac drives it 2 hours over to Benton, Louisiana to make his bets. I mean, go there and make it. I mean, geez.
Has he bet on the Astros yet this year, I wonder?
I haven't heard anything yet. But yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
But also keep one thing in mind. Not only is the IRS involved, but because this was done with an illegal bookmaker, apparently in San Diego, the FBI is now involved.
Right.
That's correct.
So there will be a thorough investigation. My gut feeling is he didn't. That he didn't do it. And the thing is that I think whether you could call it stealing or whether it was, you know, voluntarily helping a friend, that's kind of a moot point because baseball wants to find out if he did anything illegal. Because if he wants to help a friend and be stupid, baseball won't do anything about that. So, you know, that's the only thing
that he may get charged with, apparently, from what I was hearing, is in California, there's something called a tax that you have to pay. I forget what kind of tax they called it, but apparently it wasn't paid on this. So he may have to pay that back.
Okay.
I believe Perry, I could be wrong and I'll have to do some research, but I believe anytime you do a major wire transfer with a big amount like this, I believe there's taxes involved each time you do that.
Yep.
So,
okay.
And we'll follow that, and as news becomes available, we'll cover it.
Well, we have some not on the field exactly, but the Mets and J.D. Martinez agreed on a 1-year, $12 million contract, so he can be their DH this year. The players got into a big brouhaha this week, and again, it's a little confusing and a little convoluted, and we probably won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but just want to get it out there. Players wanted to replace Bruce Meyer as the labor negotiator, who's the deputy to Clark. I can't
Tony
think of his
Clark.
First name.
Tony Clark.
Tony Clark.
And Bruce Meyer is a Scott Boras guy.
That's correct. And Harry Marino, who brought the minor leaguers into the union, but a certain number of players and factions of teams wanted to replace Myers with Marino. And Tony Clark, due to his right as the head of the union, said no. And that created a real firestorm in the meeting. They had a Zoom meeting, and they created a real firestorm where a lot of the players, there are two sides of it. One side said, well, the teams that had a lot of Boras clients didn't even know about it, because they were trying to avoid the Boras clients because they knew that they would be loyal to Myers. So they wanted to kind of get this done without their knowledge. So that was one thing that happened. And on the other side, you know, they were saying that Marino had been out of the union, but Marino's people were saying, well, there's been a lot of abuse of travel and expenses and things like that. And that the free agent market, it wasn't as high this year. And it's not going very well the way that Clark and Myers are doing it. So, they were in the executive board meeting, I guess the board did vote for Myers to replace Marino, but then Clark said no. So he's really put himself out there, and there's no clear indication of what's going to happen. But, you know, the contract runs through 2026, but hopefully they'll have this settled, soon and be able to move on. But because apparently Myers is very good buddies with Scott Boras. So there
and this
you go.
This all started, Chris, because of this situation with J.D. Davis with the Giants, you know, where he lost all that money. That's kind of where this kicked off at, and it just hasn't – and it has not died down. I mean, Clark could be in some trouble because of this. We'll have to wait and see.
Yes, but it's just something that I wasn't even aware of.
I wasn't either.
No, and this is a good point, and the reason we became aware of it, I think, was because of the – I think this is why we found out or started to find out was The Athletic. And
yes.
It turns out that The Athletic, the newspaper that comes out every day about sports in this country, is now on Newsline. If you have NFB Newsline, either through your device or your phone or however you get it, you can go on and get the get The Athletic every day. And I quickly looked at it yesterday, just did the NFL just for fun, and I saw an article on this team, that team, this team, that team. They all have correspondence there. You know, you'll in your local area, you'll hear so-and-so in the Patriots reports for The Athletic, and he joins us here on the guest line. And, you know, they'll be on the Sports Hub at EEI. They're just as plugged in as local reporters. They're former local reporters, a lot of them who worked for the newspapers in an area and have been covering the team for years. And they really cover each team like it's your local team. So you could go in there and you could find any baseball team, any college football, any college basketball, any football, you know, all the sports. And it looks like it's really going to be a boon. And it's going to be something, if you really want to be informed on what the inside is, because a lot of times, even on this show or on our system, we'll say, well, I don't know, you know, we don't have anybody in a particular city, and we don't know why are the Carolina Panthers doing this particular thing. Well, you could go and find out why they're doing this thing.
It's going to help this show, because ever since I found out, well, it was Robert that told me about it. I didn't even realize it was there, and then I've read it every day since. But if you want to get it, the way you do it is you go into five, you know, to start with your newspapers. Then one is breaking news. It's not going to be in the first list, so you can hit 9 right away. And then it's number 4 in the second grouping that comes up.
Yeah.
And you can add it in. You can add things into your favorites from it too. Jennifer, yes. Go ahead.
Well, not only that,
Robert, hold on.
Oh,
Jennifer,
sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, is that the full version, like the one you subscribe to?
It looks to be.
Wow, that's cool.
And so Newsline, I would certainly urge you to go read it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Robert.
And sorry, Jennifer, I didn't hear you, but I was also going to say, check it throughout the day. It's constantly updated throughout the day. So there you go.
And I've seen articles. I know the other day when I was going through it, Bill and Jennifer would be happy about this. I've seen articles from, I believe it's Trent Rosecrans, who covers the Reds. The Cubs are. I've seen Cubs articles, Bowden articles. So,
how do you get to it when you launch Newsline?
What you do is you go to 5. You know, to read. It'll say to read newspapers from a different state. So that's 5, and then 1 is breaking news, and then 9 because it's not the first segment of it. So you want to hit 9 to get to the second list, and it's number 4 in that second list.
And you can do that on your iPhone, Android, your mobile.
However you use it. Yep, yeah. However you do it.
Hey, that sounds like a good plan.
It is. It is. I'm looking forward to checking it out once in a while. All right. Well, Peter Angelos has died at 94 years old. He was in the process, his family is in the process of selling the Orioles. And,
which will be voted on tomorrow, by the way.
Okay, so that should be official soon. It's, you know, got good people involved, Cal Ripken Jr., et cetera. But he'd been ill for several years, and John Angelos had taken it over. Peter Angelos was a lawyer and bought the Orioles in 1993, so just when they had moved into Camden Yards, basically, bought them for $173 million. Because the former owner was bankrupt, and he wasn't much of a spender, as we know, and he watched his transactions closely. He was a very hands-on owner, and he had high net worth, but just wouldn't spend the money.
Right.
And in 1995, refused to put a replacement team together when they were having those before the strike was settled. So, you know, that was something. He was strongly involved until 2012. And in 2018, They were 47-115, but last year they won over 101 games and won the division, and they've got a good farm system now, so they're on the right track. But his son started running the team, and Brandon Hyde's been doing a good job as the manager, and so forth. So that's
Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias are strongly suspect. You know, they're the two that have really brought the team to where it is now.
Hey, Chris, just a quick note.
Yeah.
The cat's in the basket. In other words, your information is here.
Okay. Yay.
Yeah, all you right, got it. Enough. Okay.
All right. So good to know. All right. We have. I guess we're starting secret codes here in the Legend Life organization.
I just wanted to tell you your songs are here.
Yes.
No code.
Players are opting out of contracts if they had minor league deals, and if another team wants to put them on their 40-man roster, they can, or they can go back. If they know they're not going to make the major league team, they can go back and maybe get on a 40-man or go to the minor leagues of the team they were in. So there may be some moving around at the last minute here, as we go into the season. And
the one that has scratched my head so far, Carl Edwards Jr. with the Cubs opted out. And what surprised me there was with the article I was reading in The Athletic on Saturday, he was likely to make the team. And then I hear 2-3 hours later, he opted out.
Well, maybe he thinks he can get a better deal from somebody else. But it's now time to pick these teams and see what we think. Now, I'll do it on our system, ran through the whole standing, but we don't have time to do that. But
by the way, Jennifer, you are more than welcome to make baseball picks if you want. You probably would be, you probably look smarter than we do, so you're more than welcome to do it.
I can give you a quick overview of each division and why I thought what I did. I'm picking Baltimore to win the American League East. They did last year. I think Toronto was going to be good. The Yankees are going to be good. I think the Red Sox are going to be better than Tampa Bay. I picked them to beat out Tampa Bay. I just think this Tampa Bay magic is going to kind of end. Kansas City to win the Central, because I just think that they added a bunch of pitching and they had a lot of hitting last year. They were hitting the ball, but they couldn't stop anybody. So I'm thinking they may, and that's not the hardest division to win. You know, it's kind of, mediocre. I think that Cleveland's going to take a big step back without Terry Francona there. I think the Twins and Tigers will contend with the Royals, but I think the Royals will win it. I think Houston will win the, they just do it through the regular season. They're slow and steady. That's how they get it done. I think they're going to win that division. Texas and Seattle are going to be tough. A's and White and Angels will not. They are not going to be good at all. And so my playoff team is the American League, Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston as division winners, Toronto, the Yankees, and Texas, and Baltimore to win the whole thing and win the pennant. In the National League, I'm picking the Braves to win the East. I just think have enough to beat out Philadelphia, and Miami has a lot of good young pitching. They're going to be tough too.
Of good hitting. That's the problem.
No, they don't. They don't. But I think they're going to be far ahead of the Mets and Washington. In the Central, I'm picking the Cardinals to go from worst to first, just because I think that they had a lot of bad things all go wrong last year, and I don't think that'll happen again, and they did make some improvements. So I'm picking them to win that division. In the West, I'm picking the Dodgers. I think you have to do that. I think everybody's going to probably do that. So my National League teams, I've got Atlanta, St. Louis, and the Dodgers winning the division, Philadelphia, Miami, and the Cubs to make the playoffs. But the Dodgers to win the playoffs, and Baltimore to beat the Dodgers 4-2 to win the World Series. So that's my year in a nutshell. Okay.
Hey, Jennifer, do you want to put in any picks?
Gosh, I haven't done.
Who do you feel good about? Is there anybody?
I think Toronto's going to end up winning the American League. I think they're going to end up going on to the playoffs. And I don't know that. As much as I'd like to, I know the Reds are not going to go. I think maybe the Dodgers are going to have a good chance.
They're too injured. And the other thing, Sonny Gray is out for what, the season for the Cardinals?
No, he's not out for the season, but he's starting the season on the injured list.
Oh, right, but it's serious.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Bill, go. All right, Bill, it's your turn.
Well, let's see. Just at a glance.
Let's see if you could look as silly as the rest of us.
Oh, I can do that easy. I do it every day. We're going to go, of course, with Baltimore in the East. I can go with Kansas City. I can go with Houston. And what's the other division I'm missing?
Those are your three divisions. And you got wild cards.
And the wild card team would be...
We got three. You don't have to pick them if you got three wild cards to put in.
Unless you just feel good about one of those teams to win the whole thing.
Well, I think they probably will. But for some reason, I've got a good feeling this year, a little more positive. Maybe Cleveland okay. Indians could make a wild card splash. Let me see. Else in the American League. Yankees as a wild card, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And sure. One more, of course, Houston. However, I picked Houston.
You had them as a division.
Like, yeah. Maybe like Texas maybe. Or Seattle.
Yeah, Texas. Like, yeah, yeah okay. Seattle's yeah. not going to go to. In the National League, I've got the Cubs winning. The Central, I think the Reds are just too hurt, too injured, and who knows what the Cubs are doing, too. So, but I hold back on the Cardinals because I got some pitching that's a little faulty, but they, you know, they'd be all right. Philadelphia
in the East,
I've got it.
Atlanta, maybe, is a wild card?
Atlanta. That could change around very quite easily. And I've got the Giants as a wild card team.
Okay.
No question.
And then probably the Dodgers winning the division.
Oh, yeah, like Dodgers, no doubt.
And so for the World Series, who do you have going?
Overall, I'm still going with Houston.
Okay.
Houston against the Dodgers and Houston to win the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay. All right. Perry?
Well, I'm going to go Baltimore in the East because I think Baltimore is going to be ahead of everybody in that division and it's not probably going to be that close because the Yankees have a lot of injuries already.
Yep, they do.
So I think the Orioles in the East. I still think Minnesota in the Central. Houston, I think, in the West. And then my wild card teams. I'll let the Yankees in as a wild card. And Texas and Tampa.
Okay.
So then in the National League, Atlanta for the East. The one I struggled with, and then I saw all the injuries, was the Central. I was back and forth between the Cubs and the Reds, but I picked the Cubs probably somewhat with my heart, not my head, but nonetheless, I'll pick the Cubs anyway, and the Dodgers in the West. And then I think Philly is a wild card. I think Cincinnati will get in as a wild card. And I also think San Diego will get in as a wild card. And then I think Baltimore and Atlanta in the World Series with the Braves winning.
Okay.
Sean.
Robert? For Sean.
Oh, yeah, Robert's first. That's right, Robert's first.
Oh, yeah, Robert. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go in the American League. I'm going to agree with everybody here, Baltimore. I think Baltimore will run away with that division. The Yankees are beat up. Toronto's got a lot of question marks. And I agree with Chris. I think Tampa's going to fall back, and I'm not sure what's going on with the Red Sox. They've made some interesting roster decisions.
They might be better than I thought. You know, their pitching looks pretty good right now. And they won about 60% of their games. So if they can maintain, obviously they'll make the playoffs. But with a long, you know, it's spring training. But you know, it looks a little better than I expected it.
So that's my East. In the Central, I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Kansas City. They have new ownership. They obviously invested in the team. And I have a feeling if they need something at the trading deadline with new owners, I think they'll go out and get it.
Yep.
They signed Bobby Witt Jr. to a long contract. They're going to keep him around. I think Detroit might finish second. The Tigers look like they're improving slowly but surely under AJ Hinch. This could be a breakout year for the Tigers. You might see the Twins in third, Indians in fourth, you know, that kind of thing, and the White Sox at the bottom.
I think whoever wins that division, I think you guys would all agree, whoever wins that Central division, it's not going to be in a blowout. That one's going to be close.
No. It's going to be competitive all year. in the West, I'm going to go with Houston first, Texas second, Seattle third, Angels and A's in the National, wild card first. I'll go with the Yankees as a wild card, Texas as a wild card, and maybe
Toronto?
The Tigers. Maybe the
okay.
Tigers will sneak in there.
That'd be cool. All right.
In the National League. In the West, we're obviously going to take the Dodgers. I think it'll be the Dodgers and everybody else in that division, although I think the Giants have slightly improved themselves, but I think the Padres will finish second, Arizona third, Giants fourth, that kind of thing. In the Central, I struggled with this. I went back and forth like Perry, but I'm going to agree with Perry. I'm going to take the Cubs. Reds will finish second if they stay healthy. And the rest of that division is up in the air. And in the East, Atlanta and Philadelphia are going to battle it out, and everybody else is going to fight for third place. I think the Mets will finish third. Miami's improving, but remember, you have Tim Anderson on that team, and he caused dissension. They caused a lot of dissension for the White Sox last year. That could be a problem, so keep that in mind. Wild card. Let's see. Philadelphia for a wild card. San Diego for a wild card, and maybe the Reds for a wild card.
And what's your World Series?
I'm going to take the Dodgers and Houston, and the Dodgers win it.
Okay. You know what I know? Unless Sean changes it up, you know what I noticed, though?
Right.
Arizona was in the World Series last year.
Yeah.
None of us have them even in the playoffs.
I think it was a fluke, you know?
They're going to be okay, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, Sean.
Well, and remember, I did go undefeated in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, you did.
Let's see how that did indeed.
And let's see if you did.
My national championship team's still alive in right now that I picked last week. But anyway, all right. Like all of you all, I've got Baltimore in the East. Got them in the East. The Central, Minnesota. The West, I have Texas, and then, my wild cards, I got Kansas City, Detroit, and Houston as my wild card. Nationally, got Philly winning the East. I got the Cubs winning the Central.
That's good. Keep going.
and the Dodgers winning the West. For those of you who don't know, I was born a Cardinal fan, for those of you that don't know. That's why I had to say that, but anyway. And thank you, Chris, for picking them. But no, anyway, and my wild cards, I have Atlanta, San Diego, and Cincinnati is my wild cards. And then I got Texas and the Dodgers in the World Series. So, yeah.
And who's going to win it?
And who will win the World Series?
And Texas will beat the Dodgers. I think they're going to
get a repeat.
Yeah, I think they're going to repeat.
Now,
we got a lot of. Okay, go ahead, Barry.
I think Bill. You and I would pretty much agree at this point from what we've seen. If you want baseball, you're going to have to get the MLB package because it is not on TuneIn.
It is definitely not on TuneIn. So you'll have to get you're exactly right. I can't, they're not even promoting it. So it's not there.
No. The only thing, you can still listen to those classic games, though. If you want to tell your device to play the MLB, you can still hear those.
But it could change on a daily basis.
Yeah, it could.
It could change on a daily basis.
Yes, it could.
Yep. Okay, we got a lot of NFL news. See if we can squeeze it in here. Mike Williams signed with the Jets to play with Aaron Rodgers, a wide receiver from the Chargers. So that really, Jim Harbaugh is starting all over again. He signed for $15 million. I think it was just a one-year deal, and so that's going to be a weapon for him. Can he stay healthy? That he and Keenan Allen, it seems like one week or the other, they're injured or both out for the Chargers year in, year out. So we'll see about that. And as I say, Harbaugh is starting over with the offense. The Chiefs are trying to get a stadium, trying to work with Kansas City or work with people there to see if they can get a new stadium. The Arrowhead is a little over 50 years old, or just about 50 years old. It was built at the same time as Kauffman Stadium, right next to each other. So they're trying to see if they can get something done. They're saying all options are on the table. They're not going to leave or anything, but
no.
People will need to talk to them about that. Ladarius Sneed went to Tennessee from Kansas City. He was Kansas City's franchise player, and they got a 3 in the 25 draft, did Kansas City, and They're swapping picks in this year's draft, and Tennessee is working on an extension for Snead. Tennessee could sign him for 4 for $76. That's what they're talking about. They have until July 15th to do so, and if they don't get the extension done, then he becomes their franchise player. And, you know, then he gets like 20 million this year or something if that goes on. And we've been working on finding out what this is, and we haven't had much luck, but it's been outlawed. So don't do it. Don't try this at home. The hip swivel drop tackle. Don't do it, because if you do, you're going to get a 15-yard penalty from somebody, whoever sees you. So yep. Do not do it. We don't know what it is, but it sounds like it's very dangerous, and it shouldn't happen anymore in the NFL.
And the players are angry about that ban, by the way.
The defensive players. I'm sure the offensive players aren't. But anyway, so I have no clue what it is. There's maybe a YouTube out there, and we may get a friend of ours to tell us about it when he sees it. But I have never heard that term until yesterday.
I don't know what
they're banning. No. A team can have a third challenge if they win one of their first two now. That's a new rules change that just came in.
And they've also made additional things challengeable.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear about that part.
Like roughing the passer, and I think there's two or three other ones that are going to be challenges. So we may have four-hour games before we're done with this.
We could. Yeah, just when they had cut it down a little bit. The NFL approved the kickoff change that Sean and Rick kind of described, I think, the other day.
Yep.
So that they're going to be doing that. So supposedly it's going to make the kickoff safer and maybe actually make more of an option for returning as well. That's what they're saying. Trade deadline is moved to week 9. I'm not sure before week 9 or during week, I don't know, it'll be some
Tuesday. It's Tuesday after week 9, which this year will be election day, November 5th.
Well, why not? Let's see if we can have something else go on. And a few more quick things. There'll be unlimited practice maneuvers that you can bring people back and forth from your practice squad. That's particularly beneficial with quarterbacks because, you know, there are times that you couldn't bring somebody up and you had them and you had to go out and sign a free agent or whatever who wasn't familiar. But it would be better for the teams if you can have that third or fourth quarterback down there to bring up on a regular basis. There will be a Christmas Day game or Christmas night game, and we haven't found the time, or the network.
It's a doubleheader, Chris. They're going to have a doubleheader that day.
It's going to be a doubleheader? Okay. But they, you know, I guess probably 4 and 8 or something like that, 4:30 and 8, something like that they'll probably do. And we'll find out what networks get that or network. And Amazon.
And Christmas, by the way, is on a Wednesday this year. So that is unusual for the NFL to ever play on Wednesday.
Yes. Well, they did. Remember a couple of years ago, the Ravens and Steelers played a COVID game because of that. Until they had enough players to play, they had to play on Wednesday afternoon. But it is unusual. And Amazon is going to get the game in Brazil, the Friday night game in the first week of the season.
No, Peacock gets that, and then Amazon
gets that,
and then Amazon gets the playoff game, the wild card game.
So Peacock will not have a wild card game this year.
That's my understanding of it. Yes.
Okay, because I was a little confused. I weren't clear on the Sports Hub, and when we were talking before the show, I didn't really understand. But either way, basically, so the playoff games will be the four, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, and then there'll be two, I guess, on ABC or something.
Yeah, because something
like
that.
Be the Monday night game, and then Peacock will have Amazon. Is that what you're saying? Amazon will have that game, and then Peacock will have Brazil.
Correct.
And the Eagles are in the Brazil game. We don't know who they're playing.
Correct.
We'll find out. And the schedule will be out, I think, after the draft. I think it's a week or two after the draft they put the schedule out.
Yeah.
And I got just
and
about
we
time.
Are. That's right. We are time. So we will see you next week. We'll have the final four for both the men and the women by that time and plenty of other stuff. So we'll see you next week.
All right.
Recording stop.